With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, we're back up and running now with the Five Times podcast. We've been away for a few months. A bit of redevelopment with the new website, which if you go to fivetimes.co.uk, you can see all the new work on there. And as usual, work your way through it. You'll see all the up-and-coming events, events that the lads have been doing, pictures, all interviews have been linked to the website by the former players. So it's very informative, and it looks absolutely fantastic. Just to tell you a few things that are going on with Five Times. Myself, Robbie Fowler and Didier Mann are heading to North America. We're off to Toronto on the 24th of June, New York on the 25th of June, Charlotte 26th of June, and Los Angeles on the 28th of June. It's more of a show, really, rather than maybe after dinner speaking. It's more of a show where you'll see video footage of the lads, and I'll get to interview Robbie and Diddy and go sort of different stories, like things what happened off the pitch as much as they've been on it. It's a great show. We've done it in Australia. It was sold out, 1,000 people at each show. We've done a couple of theatres, so it was great. So if you get the chance to go to any of them nights, go on a website, www.fivetimes.co.uk/US tour. All the information will be on there, ticket prices and the dates, as a reminder, will be on there. Also, we've launched, like I said, the new website, which is brilliant. You can also go on and discuss your thoughts about what was going on with Liverpool. Leave all your comments, and that would help us out, obviously, with the podcast up and running now. That will help us out, different, more interacting and different views from the fans that we can sort of talk about. So I'll just remind you again, it's www.fivetimes.co.uk for all the information. Yeah. Well, we're back. We've been away for a couple of months. Obviously, we've relaunched the new website, the new Five Times website, which is absolutely fantastic. Robin Grimes done a fantastic job relaunching that and redesigning it. And I think it's fitting that we obviously start the podcasts. Two fantastic guests to start it, the new chairman and the former chairman of Five Times, with Jan Mulby with us, and the new chairman, John Aldridge. Been away for a while, lads. Have you missed me?
No.
Jan, you missed me?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was. Absolutely, yeah. Love-hate relationship, me and all, though.
Yeah, the support you gave me over my 2 years as a chairman, that one meeting you gave me. I
backed you all the way.
I know that. I'll never be able to repay you.
And I was there for a lot of the meetings.
Anyway, is anything coming up?
John?
Is anything coming up?
Yeah. What's your plan?
Nothing coming up towards the Liverpool Football Club at the moment. I think it's all going down, isn't it? Really, to be honest, I feel load in a pig's belly at the moment after what happened to the weekend.
Well, we'll get into that in a minute. But obviously, you've taken over from Big Shoes in Jan Mulby. Very big shoes.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like for what he's done for the players. I'm talking about his size 15s.
I know.
The big man. So they are big shoes.
The old Dalek,
so how how are you gonna take the company moving forward?
I think what we did, you know, when Jan took over, you know, we had a plan, didn't we? We had a plan. We'll put it together, and Jan's done a phenomenal job, and it's just a matter of just continuing. And we've got.
What's your ideas? We've obviously got dinners planned, and
yeah,
a big golf, a nice charity golf day coming up.
We kind of realised what works, haven't we, John?
Yeah,
you know, we obviously need to be on social media.
Yeah,
which we
absolutely
are.
Yeah.
We do this podcast and the Twitter and whatever. And then we've got a couple of events, haven't we? And we obviously maintain that we've got the game against the fans.
Yeah. Brilliant, sold out, Jan.
Yeah, which is, you know, we've obviously had to move it from Anfield, haven't we? It's down at the...
That's a pity.
Yeah.
But...
That's because of the redevelopment. Yeah.
It's a pity because, you know, again, that last 2 years I've really enjoyed. We all have.
The day and having
a few beers afterwards with the lads. But it's down at the academy now. But what we've done to counteract not being at Anfield, we've got some special players playing against them that day. Some really special players
coming to play.
So that's sold. That'd be
and
a
of
great
course
day.
we got the gala dinner, haven't we? Which is going to be fantastic with a tribute to the 1965 FA Cup winning team.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that again, because what we'd done since Jan took over, you know, we made this gala event such a prestige occasion. It sold out within days. It sold out. I mean, you know, people have asked me for tables, and even Mark Wright can't get a table now. Okay. And it's just unfortunate because it sold out because of what we've done. We've moved on. The one thing we're working on, we've got a meeting today, is obviously we're going to make the golf day prestigious as well.
That's the only thing that's missing in our calendar,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a really top-class golf day.
Yeah.
And I know you spend a lot of time doing that, so good luck with that, John. You know,
yeah, we hope so, yeah.
The bottom line is obviously it's the charity aspect of Five Times. That's what it's all about. We've carried that on. You know,
tremendous.
Well, the charities are going to be the same. What we're looking at all day.
Oh, I think we change charities all the time, don't we?
Yeah, we have a little look. At, right. And again, there's a meeting today, and we're going to look at where I think it's you've got to be fair and try and spread that out as best as possible, and we have done that, Jan.
I think so. I mean, we obviously started with the minibus,
brilliant, yeah,
for the Variety Club of the Northwest. They got the minibus for $35,000 for the school, and then we've got a couple of rooms at the brand new hospital, haven't we?
Yep.
Sponsored by former players, which is nice, isn't it?
That's fantastic. Absolutely.
You know, these are things that will be around for years, won't they? That minibus will be driving around with our logo on for.
And a lot of donations have been made to a lot of different.
A lot of other things, you know, including the sad news that when Tony Heatley passed away, isn't it? We made a charity donation on that day as well. So no, it's all gone very well.
Good.
But what about you, Jason? I mean, it's.
I'm just chock-a-blocker.
Are you really?
I'm all over the place. That's why I haven't been
why he's not been to any of these.
I'm like Judith Chalmers.
He's not
all
been
over
to
the world.
None of your meetings. He's been to none of the podcasts.
He came to one of my meetings and
no influence whatsoever. No. You know, he just.
It was like when he played, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Across between Phileas Flogg and Judith Chalmers, I'd say.
To be fair, us playing Newcastle last week did you a favour, didn't it? Because they showed that cross, that one cross again.
What do you mean, that one cross?
So that kind of got you a little bit back into to the mind of the Liverpool fans.
When you were the wing back.
Yeah, do you remember you put that one cross in?
I mean, in the first game, I set up.
A good ball, James.
Stan Collett, it was a buffet ball.
It was a buffet ball, yeah.
Help yourself.
And that's why they kept showing it, because people were shaking their heads and going,
you know, the World Cup in 94. When it reminded me of that one I put in for Aldo, the buffet ball against Mexico.
Do you remember the Mexican leather when they ripped me neck?
Yeah, I know that. You haven't been the same since, have you?
Oh, no. I've got a wobbly neck now.
I know, I do feel for you, John.
That's what it was like. And in the second game, I set up Macca with an assist, and the third game, which wasn't a 4-3, I think it was a 3-1, I set Michael Owen up.
Yeah.
Put them three players on the map.
But you and Brendan Rodgers have got one thing in common, haven't you?
What's that?
You haven't won anything with Liverpool.
Thanks for reminding me. Yeah, and I'm sure Brendan will be made over if given him
back. Yeah, but Brendan's still got time.
He's still got a chance. Well, has he got time? That brings us nicely into the football side of things. Disaster weekend. I watched the game with Gary McAllister, and disappointment was the word we were left with after the game.
I just want to ask you one question, John.
Go on.
How did you feel Sunday morning? Before the game.
Oh,
I wasn't confident. I wasn't wholly confident. I have to say, I didn't really fancy us. I predicted 1-1, you know, and I had a little bet before the game, and I knew it'd be tight. You know, they had a little. They'd regained the confidence, you know, the bit of belief with some good results they've had. And Benteke was on form. And you know when the strikers are on form, you know.
But we knew he was on form, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
You know?
We did.
I agree just with John, just to my answer to the question. Yeah, I thought they were in form. I think Tim's got them firing well. A lot of energy and belief in their team at the minute. And I think I agree with John. When you've got a centre-forward who started scoring goals, who's full of confidence, who's given Martin Skrtel a problem in the past... I just thought
you reinvigorated, weren't
you? Yeah, they were.
I think that's the word we're looking at.
And I thought if Liverpool can play like we've seen them play this season with the 3-4-3 system, if they get into the stride and Coutinho and Sterling get on the ball, we'll have a chance. The way the game started, I thought we were looking to go 1-0 up because, I mean, it was going wide, the shot, wasn't it? We took a wicked deflection and went in. But once they got the equaliser, you've seen their body language change, didn't it? Liverpool's changed. The manager then tried to change it tactically. What was your take on that when he went to a back four? Chan went right back. The goal come from the left-hand side. Mistake?
It's always easy to be clever. And it's always easy to go back to, say, 20 years ago when we never used to change anything. But Liverpool teams at that time were the best in the country. They had the best players. So eventually you will rely on your players being able to turn anything around. Because we got the best players. you know, and we know that how the staff used to say to us, it's not about tactics, it's about players. We don't have the best players anymore, do we? So sometimes you do have to make tactical switches. But I do think that, obviously, with the news that Lucas got injured in training and we had to change one or two things around, I just think there's certain specialist roles, isn't there? Mm-hmm. And I think fullbacks is one of them.
Yeah.
So Emre Can is not a right back and never will be a right back, and he's not a right wing back either and never will be either.
No, he's fitted nicely in the back.
Centre half, not a problem. And I know that Glenn Johnson is and he was dreadful against Newcastle, wasn't he? But he is a right back, isn't he? And I don't know.
England's right back.
I don't know whether it would have been a better choice to start with him and get people in their positions. It's a bit like Manchester United with Rooney now, isn't it? Rooney's playing well again, and they're playing well. Why is that? Because he's playing in his position. He's playing now as a striker, isn't it? That's his job, isn't it?
Why, John, when we've had so much success from the Manchester United game away, where we went to a three, and you'd have to say fairly unlucky on the day. You know, we created a lot of chances. Scoreline flattered Manchester United.
Big time, yeah.
And Bournemouth, the next game, I think for 45 minutes, playing in that system, Liverpool were brilliant. And yeah. I think that's when Brendan Rodgers found the solution to the problem. He stuck with it. We had a fantastic run. And then he started tinkering. Why all of a sudden have we changed? Why is he now looking at a four? Why? Is it because of injuries, personnel?
No. Did you ever generally feel that was permanent?
The 3-4-3.
They never gave me the impression that it was permanent, simply because we're asking Emre Can to play as a centre-half. Now, Brendan Rodgers and a lot of other people might see his future as a centre-half, but Emre Can doesn't, does he?
But the success...
Emre Can sees himself...
absolutely perfect for that role.
I know.
In the back three,
but
he
sees himself as a midfield player.
Yeah, I think so.
Does the results... I know what you've said there, but does the results not dictate whether it's going to be permanent or not?
I think one
loss in 23 suggests it's
working. Yeah, but
I think
sometimes it's easier to change formation. What we needed to do in December was to get our confidence back, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we got that back. And then I think it's easier then to change formation. But I think that our problem all season has been Yulend. You know, we keep coming back to, we can't defend, we can't do this. And Erland says, but our problem has been Yulend, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Getting the best.
It's gone from one extreme to another, from last year to this year.
But it's been a problem getting the best from the players who can win us matches, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, Sturridge has been injured, hasn't he? You know, how do we get the best from Sterling?
Who's going to win your matches?
Exactly. And we spoke about the right back and the lack of right back and whatever. But even when you look on Sunday at Wembley, we chose yet again to play with Raheem Sterling up top, yeah? Mm-hmm. That is definitely not his position, is it? We have three strikers, Balotelli, Lampard and Barini on the bench that we don't trust.
Yeah.
That's another problem.
See, with Raheem up front... For me, like he had nothing to he had no service. A lot of balls were hoofed up, you know, from the back first half, which early on, which was a surprise. Now, for me, what you have to do is to turn their defence, to try and get him in behind, to push him back, to get the space, make the space for Coutinho in that hole. And we didn't turn him. On no occasion did we put any sort of ball. And I know they had the run of midfield. They won the battle in midfield. They had more energy in midfield with the three young players. You know, it just didn't work. For me, if you're going to play Raheem up front, if you play him in behind someone, in behind one of the three you're talking about, then you're going to cause a problem. It's asking an awful lot for him.
But isn't it? It's completely different roles, John, isn't it? You play up front and you have to make runs. So you're the striker and you make runs, yeah?
You make runs, yeah.
Or you play wide, or you play in behind, and then you have to make a run. They're totally different. It's all people say, all we want you to do is run forward, isn't it?
Yeah.
But when you play up front, the forward run you make is different to the one you make when you come from deep, or you come from wide positions.
From wide positions, yeah.
And he makes great runs from deep, he makes great runs from wide positions. But when he plays as a striker, he hasn't quite got the game, has he? Where he makes a run or spins off a centre-half.
I'll give it a stat. We were caught offside 8 times.
Yeah. Well, there you are.
Eight
so
times.
When you play up front...
It wasn't just him, Jan, it was Balotelli as well.
But it's marginal then, isn't it?
But it's, you know, on one occasion it was wrong when we could have possibly got an equaliser. But, you know, you've got to have a bit more nous about you. And that for me, you've got to be more clever than that. 8 times being caught offside is stupid.
I know we're talking about specifically the game at the weekend against Villa, but obviously the Man United game and then Arsenal, and then we've thrown Newcastle in between.
Before that, Jason, you know, cup game against Blackburn, and I think
we. All right, Blackburn, yeah.
Swansea, how did we win 1-0 at Swansea? I'm not saying how did we win, how did we get away with not conceding the goal?
My question is to you, Jan, why all of a sudden have we started searching for another formation? Why have we started changing players' positions? We played Newcastle and played Coutinho as a false number nine.
Yeah.
I mean, but he had really a load of belief in Sterling playing centre forward when he needed him. Why all of a sudden what's his thinking there? Why?
Don't know. When I see Coutinho in that role, it was like that old one that Barcelona tried to play 4-6 North.
Fabregas. Yeah, yeah. Spain tried to do it as well. Yeah. Fabregas.
It's a Spanish way of thinking mentality. I don't know, but for me, what a difference is 5 weeks making football, because before the Man United game, even although what Jan's saying is right, we were very fortunate at Swansea. We got away with one or two things. You know, Man United come and beat us. And all of a sudden, before the Man United game, we're cock-a-hoop. Yeah. Even though, you know, we haven't got the greatest side. Man United, are they going to make the top four? Are they not? They're going to fall away with all these games coming. They're going to play the top teams. And all of a sudden, it's gone upside down. We have totally lost everything what we had before for whatever reason. Only the players and the manager. I don't know. In 5 weeks, can go from where we were to where we are now.
It's bringing you back to a lot of tinkering, a lot of personnel change.
And of course that has an impact.
Lost our way again, haven't we?
Yeah, I look back to that Duracell performance against Manchester City.
Yeah,
where we ran them into the ground. Yeah,
yeah, really good.
Brendan said to the listen, there's one thing the City can't do. Is cope with a tempo for 90 minutes, and we never ever we were relentless, weren't we?
I think we were brave as well.
Yeah. And when you look at it now, isn't it? No energy. And do you know what? The biggest thing I have at the moment, we are so wasteful. Yeah. Final pass, chances, you know. And I guess that sometimes comes with desperations, and you take more chances in your playing it, but I think we're so wasteful.
Yeah. Well, what was your take on the manager's comments of they wanted it too much? They wanted to win the game too much. Brendan Rodgers. Yeah, Brendan Rodgers.
Didn't look like that on the pitch.
They said they wanted it. It was a case of they wanted it too much.
So the occasion got to them.
Yeah, the occasion got to them.
We've seen that happen before at Wembley. You know,
does happen, doesn't it?
It does happen. You know, and it got to far too many players. And
but is it happening too often? Big games.
Well,
Points. We've only taken 4 points of the so-called four teams this season.
You know what you're saying, the big games. Man United of late, we didn't really turn up. Arsenal, again, you know, the semis, we didn't turn up. You know, and even Newcastle last week, we were so lucky. We got them at such a low ebb, such a very ordinary, poor side, void of any sort of confidence. And for like 20 minutes, either side of half time, they run us all over the place. And we thankfully, they didn't have the quality to make it pay. We got away with that one as well.
This Villa?
No, this is Newcastle.
Newcastle.
I'm just saying, you know, all of a sudden,
how it's all changed.
The way it's all changed.
Well, Villa.
Is it fair, if we just talk about, is it fair to say that in the last 12 months, we've only won two big games?
City and City.
We lost against Chelsea, we blew it at Palace.
No, because we beat Man United comfortably last season twice.
Last 12 months, so we basically go back.
Before the City game.
To the City game last year.
Chelsea turned us over, didn't
Chelsea turned us over. Palace, we were winning 3-0, we couldn't get
done
over the
two
semi.
I would say they were unlucky semi-final against Chelsea. Very, very unlucky.
Yeah, they played well, but results, we still didn't see it through. And what Jan's saying, games, we haven't really got the big results.
Have we got the mentality then in the squad? Because with your teams, I mean, even
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
18 to an extent, probably lacked a little bit of winning mentality where Man United got to grips of knowing how to do it. They've done it once, they've done it again. And then it makes the job for everyone else so much harder because you don't know how to do it. And I think that was our problem. We just couldn't get over the line. And you two will tell me best because you did get over the line so many times. Is it a mentality issue rather than a physical issue? Knowing how to win games, knowing how to win big games, knowing how to change your game. I would suggest Liverpool don't have that now.
I don't think we've got enough players personally.
Who know how to
do it. We're a very young side. We're a really young side.
But that is by choice, isn't it?
It's by choice. And I think whatever happens in the summer, and you've got to look at a role model for this was Chelsea last year. They went out and bought, Costa and Fabregas, two experienced, renowned players. And I just think, and I've been saying it for a while, we have to look at the calibre of players who he's going to bring in to help and nurture these players that have only been here a year.
The stat on that, John, is in 3 years, they both spent the same as about 200 million. But Chelsea, if they win the league, that's five trophies in the last 3 years.
Liverpool, to be fair,
that's fair. It's a good point.
In the Premier League history, and let's not make it too complicated, but in Premier League history, and since it's quite normal to go and sign foreign players, how many big players have we ever signed in Premier League history? It's no good saying Suarez, because when we signed Suarez, there was only two clubs who wanted him. Tottenham and Liverpool were the only two who wanted Suarez. And Suarez, before he came to Liverpool, wasn't a world-class player. Where is our big players?
Well, my team, they splashed out, and arguably the biggest centre-forward at the time was Collymore. They went and got him. But I'd have to say...
Well, you would have said at that time that Collymore, Shearer would have been the big name, wouldn't he?
It was a player you got by, and then... I think from the back end of that, Gerrard...
But you're not suggesting that Collymore's world-class, are you?
No.
No, but I'm saying at the time...
At
the time, you would put him in the brackets of the striker to go and get. Up there was Shearer, and he was a big player. But I'm trying to think Gerrard...
You brought up Costa and Fabregas, And I think when you want to make those signings, you just make them happen, don't you?
Yeah.
You can't go into these deals and go, this is what we're prepared to pay, blah, blah. You just make it happen. Whatever it takes, you have to make it happen, don't you?
I'm trying to answer
your question. Because you're going to get paid on the pitch, aren't you, by their performance?
That's the last time it happened. Maybe Collymore, because I can't think of Rafa. Did he sign anyone, really?
Well, he signed great players in terms of Alonso and Mascherano and Pepe and all that. But at the time, they weren't, were they?
Suarez wasn't in that bracket. No. Suarez was an unknown quantity at Ajax, although he scored goals. There was a lot of things wrong with him at the time, temperament. And
should we also be worried about the players that we've been linked with that we haven't been able to get?
Yep.
Costa is one of them.
Absolutely.
Conor Priyanka. Villian. Mkhitaryan. There's players that... we haven't got over the line.
Why has that not happened? And I'd like to know. We can surmise all we want. People talk about the model. FSG, buy young. It doesn't work that way. It's great to buy young, but potentially, we're going to be nurturing them to be grabbed. And that's what, grabbing people.
But why do you want to sign young players with resale value?
No, I know.
Because the last thing you want to do, if they're any good, is sell them, isn't it?
Surely. Absolutely, that's what I'm worried about.
The only way you stay is to win your cups. Football over the last 45 years has been dominated by two clubs, Liverpool and Manchester United. Every Liverpool player in the day stayed at Liverpool for 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
Manchester United, yet exactly the same, So you don't buy players with a view to sell them, do you?
No, you don't know.
You buy players because you feel their rights, so you get them.
To win you.
And you get the recruitment right, don't you? Absolutely. And you get on with it.
I think there's a balance. I think you've got to find a balance between putting a successful team together, and you will lose, obviously, a change and a couple of players and stuff. But I do agree with you. Well, one player that certainly is leaving, and you can't say he's not world class, is obviously Steven Gerrard. So the average age then of the team and the experience of the team, obviously, is in big demise. Johnson's going to leave. Where do you go now, looking forward at what we've got? A very young team, I agree.
Yeah, very young.
What do you do? Is the manager going to be given... Make a bit more noise there, Neil. Is the manager going to be given a lot of money in the summer? Is he going to have to make his own money?
He'll be given the normal 20, 25 million, then whatever on top he can bring in. Probably you're looking at maybe 35 ish. I would only surmise need 30 to 40 if we're lucky. But then what I'm saying, and it's like, Tony, well, I don't know if you agree with me, I think he has to go out. And
by finished about, articles.
Yeah. Players, these lads need experience. Players between the age of 25 and 28, you know, in the prime.
Well, you take Gerrard out, and I'm not talking about taking Gerrard out of the team, I'm talking about taking him out of the squad, yeah?
Yeah.
Because he'd no longer be here, and he probably wouldn't be first choice anyway. But nevertheless, you're going to take a big player with a big presence out, aren't you?
Massive. Huge.
You know, that, I mean, who would have thought 10 years ago when we were talking about new stadium and moving on and whatever, now all of a sudden we have a squad without Gerrard and Carragher.
Yeah.
We should never underestimate what that's going to mean. You've got Martin Skrtel with a year left on his contract. He might be tempted.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, I mean, as much as he enjoys being here,
yeah,
he is foreign, isn't he? So he might want to go and play somewhere else, mightn't he? And then all of a sudden, you look at the senior players you've been left with, and how many of them would you actually feel that you could trust?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm talking about Lovren and people like that. That's what you're going to be left with, you know.
Well, talking as we are on the subject of obviously transfers and players coming in, we've just spoken about bringing experienced players in. Where's the club at the minute in the sense of Raheem Sterling is maybe trying to hold the club to a little bit of ransom with his demands? If Liverpool were to go and let's play devil's advocate and say, yeah, okay, we'll give you whatever you're looking for, 150, 180 to stay. Does that then open the door for Jordan Henderson then to knock on the door? Does that then for Coutinho then to go and knock on the door? Where does that leave Liverpool? How do they manage that situation?
I think with the latter two players that you mentioned, Coutinho, he's obviously signed a contract. He's happy. He's moved house now. And then you're looking at Henderson. It's
stalling?
No.
He's stalling on his contract.
Apparently he's agreed now. Okay. So that's put to bed. Five-year deal. Yeah, he's
on
100 grand
pounds
a week.
Which that's what I got when I signed for Phil Neal at Bolton. Give me 100 quid a week.
Yeah, but you got what you were worth.
Tell you what, you're very generous. How generous is Phil Neal? £100? That much?
It was
£100, yeah.
Moments. £100.
And do you know what else he gave me? Petrol money.
He didn't get the clothesline across, you know what I mean? He did, to chop his head off.
£100 a week and petrol money, that's what I got. That was my first contract. Oh,
going back
so
on
you
that.
Said 100 grand a week. Oh my God, the game's changed, eh?
I think with the Sterling point, it's one of those where it's a bit delicate, and it really is. And when he's got someone who looks after him, who's been, you know, he's not had a father when he's young. He's got this agent that's looked after him through when he was young, and he believes everything.
Trust-wise,
with this, and we all know as with the experience we've got that. He's had wrong info from him. He's
of course he has. He's been wrongly advised. Bad advice.
I think Raheem Sterling's agent is right in that he can find a club who will pay him 150 grand a week, yeah?
That's what he's saying.
But can he find a club that is prepared to pay the fee that Liverpool wants? How much does Liverpool want for him?
What would you expect?
No, I know. But I think the club have a figure of about 50 million in mind, yeah?
Yeah. Well, no one's going to pay that.
But that's what I'm saying. So you can find a club who will pay you 150 grand a week.
Yes.
But can you find a club who will pay 50 million to get you there?
Absolutely right. Yes.
And that's why the advice is wrong, isn't it?
Yeah. And Liverpool still old, you know, all the keys in many ways, you know, for another 12 months. And then it becomes very tenable.
Just take that out of the picture, the financial side of it. The advice he's given his player is, yeah, there might be a Bayern Munich involved, there might be a Real Madrid involved, there might be a Man City or a Chelsea, but at the end of the day, surely the advice from the agent's got to come, Raheem, you might not play.
Yeah,
you're playing week in, week out, Scott Sinclair, Rodwell. Yeah. They've all been there. We've got experience of this happening before.
But obviously the advice from the agents is to fill your boots, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
is
here that, and now.
But is, by the way, you're saying the advice of the agents is fill your boots, but is the agent looking at it thinking, wow, because he's just left his company, right, and taken
three
players.
Is
he
thinking, players, yeah.
Yeah, is he thinking, there's a payday for me,
yeah,
by
course,
the way?
That's all he's thinking about. Well,
of course it is.
And then when he gets into his new club, yeah, then he'll start working on his next move or his next deal. That's how it works. We know
If he signs, if he signs a contract for Liverpool, hypothetically the agent will get, I don't know, let's just say 400 grand.
Yeah, let's say
if he signs for Manchester City, again, hypothetically, the agent will get 1.5 million. And that's how it works, you know. Whether Ream knows that, I'm sure he knows that. But you've got to look after the lad and nurture the lad. He's far from the finished article, far from it. But at least he's getting game time at Liverpool and he's getting nurtured. And hopefully one day he'll stay at Liverpool and realise what a great club it is. And he, you know, he'll want to stay. But I feel that that will never happen. If he doesn't go now, then he will,
all right,
go,
question.
He will go down the line.
Here's a question for you. Manager Liverpool Football Club, would you sell him?
Well, I mean, obviously, Brendan, I think you get a feeling, John, you've been a manager. I think you've got a feeling when you've got a player and you're in contract dispute with that player, you get a feeling whether they are going to sign or not, don't you?
Yeah.
You go, he's not. But you go to the chairman, don't you? You go, he will sign or he won't.
So, how do you look at a 20-year-old in that situation then, who is very naive? You're dealing with a 28-year-old. I see where you're going. You look at the player, you talk to the player, you get a feeling the player knows his experience. You're looking at a 20-year-old who doesn't know. He doesn't know the game.
I think for as long as Raheem decides to hide behind his agent,
the more likely he's in trouble.
Role. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I think unless Raheem takes control of his own career, of which he only had one, yeah?
Yeah.
Then I can't see him signing. But if he says, what is it I want to do?
Yeah.
Yeah? Obviously, you want to earn as much as you can. But to be fair, £100,000 at Liverpool Football Club as a 20-year-old should get you by.
It's a bit of reality.
Should get you by.
Yeah.
It also allows you to look after generations after you've gone, isn't it? But also, Liverpool allow him to play, which you shouldn't underestimate either. They allow him to play every week, don't you? Well, so unless Raheem Sterling goes, that's what I want to do for the next couple of years, then he'll sign. But if he keeps listening to his agent, I do worry.
It could be diverse for him if he doesn't do what Jan obviously just said, and he's right. You know, he's got to look after, you know, he's got to gain his experience. If he was to go to another club like City, he's only going to play half the games.
Yeah.
Whilst they get him the experience when 2-3 years, when he could become the finished pro. He won't become the finished article until he's about 25, 26.
I don't forget also, you see the best you talk about a step up, yeah?
Yeah.
So you're talking about, there's only so many clubs that can buy him, isn't there?
Well, yeah.
You know.
Let's go through.
He started in England, yeah. There's three clubs in England who can afford him, yeah.
City.
United and Chelsea.
Would he play any of them?
Oh, United.
He will play.
No.
United. He will play, no, but he won't play regularly.
Right, okay.
And although Louis van Gaal has a record of playing young players, Pellegrini and Mourinho.
Where's he going to get players?
But Pellegrini and Mourinho don't.
No.
They don't like young players, yeah. They like what John says, 24, 25, haven't played 300 games. You go to Bayern Munich, you're going to get some games, but you're going to be competing against Ribéry and Robin. Mm. All the rest.
And then you've got Goetze throwing in, who's trying to get in himself.
And then you probably only look, I can't see Barcelona showing any interest.
No.
So the only other club would be Real Madrid. Paris Saint-Germain. So Real Madrid?
No.
Yeah.
Real Madrid, he'd be on the bench
for most of the season. But also these clubs, what I was actually going to say is that Bayern Munich and Real Madrid don't tend to play young players 60 times a year or season anyway, do they? You know, they bring them on slowly and gradually, isn't it? And then they mature at 23, 24. Yeah, so right. Absolutely overwhelming advice. I think it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer, yeah.
But the problem is, again, underline what I said before, he trusts his agents implicitly. Yeah. You know, he has done for years and years and years, and he probably can't see. He's a bit blinkered, he can't see maybe.
Well, that's why I think. I said on the telly, I feel like you need to protect him in this situation because obviously he's been put in front of the TV cameras, very naive, bad advice again. I honestly, like you said, listen to you there, like I don't think Raheem Sterling, he's caught in the headlines, I don't think he really knows what's going on.
No.
And I think he needs protecting a little bit here.
Well, to be fair, since he's turned down his Liverpool contract of 100 grand a week, it's cost him over £1 million, hasn't it? 65 grand a week. Yeah. That's what it's cost him every week, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, we're just moving it on, transfer, because we're still on the same subject. What positions needed to strengthen for you? Centre-forward?
Yes.
Poor Daniel. He's had a stop-start season, hasn't he? It just cannot get right. Like Jan said, no trust in Barini, no trust in Lambert.
Yeah.
And then you've got, Balotelli. I mean,
it's a radical overhaul needs in that position. Radical overall. Well, we said beginning of the season, you know, we're with Suarez going, we needed, you know, to keep, first of all, Sturridge fit, which hasn't happened. And we needed to go out, in my opinion, to get two top goal scorers. It's easier said than done because you were hard. Mm. You don't know where they are.
It's very difficult, yeah.
It's very, very hard. But I still think, in the, you know, that them three players, Perini's going to go, isn't he? Whether it's a way of form, you know. Balotelli is more likely to go. And Ricky Lambert, we don't know what's going to happen with Ricky. Does he want to play? Does he want to stay at the club that he loves? We don't know. So you're left with just Sturridge and Sterling if he stays, if he wants to play him up top. So for me, two, not one. But one, Ricky's going to come in, okay, and he's got, again, potentially very good. We need someone who's renowned. That age group, when I'm going 25 to 28, 29, who will give you 20 goals.
300 games.
20 goals.
Played, maybe Benteke. International.
Benteke's an option, just, isn't he? I mean, he's probably going to cost you 30 million, isn't he? Yeah. But why shouldn't be? If that's what you want, then that's where you should spend, isn't it? I mean, I keep going back to the fact that Mandzukic was allowed to leave Bayern Munich to go to Atletico Madrid and nobody included us showing any real interest.
Yeah.
I mean, how is that? How do you not show an interest? That's what you wanted, isn't it?
Yeah.
You didn't want to spend money on... We bought Ricky Lambert for the plan B, yeah? The plan B is that we can play high balls up to. But Ricky Lambert doesn't want to play like that.
No.
He sees himself as a technically good footballer, isn't he? He doesn't want to play like that, does he?
And Steven Gerrard, that experience needs replacing. You're looking for a midfielder with 300 appearances, a bit more of a finished article.
Yeah, we need someone there with experience. For me.
Yeah, I think, you know, Schneiderlin at Southampton, he's not available. They don't want to sell him.
No.
But we have to be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have to ask the question. I know people go, not another Southampton player.
No, but he's the exception, isn't he?
You know, you go, it's no good saying, oh, well, we'll find somebody. Well, you know, we've seen it. No, let's go and get somebody who's proven, yeah? And Schneiderlin falls into that.
And then, obviously, we'll just wrap it up now, but the last big question that's making more and more headlines as Liverpool's results have been poor of recent weeks is obviously the manager's position. Is the manager keeping for you? See them.
Oh, you know, don't panic.
You
can't panic. You know, no good. We've seen that before.
Yeah.
You know, just keep faith and see what happens in the summer.
Big summer though for him, yeah.
Yeah,
in sense of like transfers.
If you just deal with the manager, Fenway Sports Group has a way that they want to run the football club. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they want to manage it with a certain profile.
Yeah.
And Brendan Rodgers fits that profile 100%. They want a manager who can work and improve players, who can work with young players, who can work under a certain amount of restrictions. And by that, I mean there is a committee that signs the players.
There's got to be a point where that Brendan fits into that criteria. But then there's got to be a point where he's got to turn around and say, but I want experienced players now. I've brought in this youth. I've brought in this young squad. I put it together. Now it's got to be the time where he turns around and says, I need to buy finished article. I need to buy players for 300 games.
Yeah.
I need... He's got to maybe...
But I do worry about that. I do worry about that.
Whether he gets that
What I worry about is that I don't think that will happen. As much as we're talking about Schneiderlin and whatever, I'm not convinced that will happen. I think the club would then rather look for another manager who is on the way up, who's used to working with young players. And by that, I mean possibly somebody like Frank de Boer at Ajax,
yeah?
Who's won the championship four times. He's come to the end of Ajax.
Yeah.
But he's used to working with young players because that's the only way you can do it at Ajax. So I think they'd rather get somebody else in to try and do the same job they're asking Brendan to do instead of saddling and jumping on another horse.
Well, I think that ends it. I think for the first one, it was good. It was meaty, wasn't it? I enjoyed that. So thanks very much.
As always, Jason, it was our pleasure.
Huh? Adios.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.